Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:39 Central African time. At the time of the morning, they rejoin Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, a member of parliament and the leader of the NFP, on his segment, Parliamentary Tunes. Ahmad, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday in the month of Ramadan, Ahmad?
Well, alhamdulillah, it just got some rain here and there. Went to Sitikama yesterday on my way back to Cape Town now. It was raining quite heavily in Mossel Bay, but it seems cleared up when I see the further rain in front of me. But otherwise, alhamdulillah, all is well. On the political front, I think there's a lot of concern being raised about how cheap life is in South Africa, and it seems like that killing has become a big business in South Africa. I think in the last 4 days, there's over 15 people that have been gunned down in KwaZulu-Natal alone. And it seems like that, you know, with a very low cost of killing, people are taking it into the form of crime, and it's really quite alarming. And also, in any way, in crime. The other issue is something that I have raised before, even in the State of the Nation address, that if we think we have a problem with energy crisis in South Africa, you can still survive. But the day you have a crisis with water, which is where we are heading right now, you will have a serious problem in the country, because people can survive without energy for a period of time. But there's no way people can survive without water. Water is life. And if you saw what's happening in Johannesburg, what happened in KwaZulu-Natal, and many other failing infrastructure, despite the fact that more and more money is being allocated to infrastructure without the capacity to deal with the problem, clearly indicates that the future is bleak when it comes to water supply and energy. And then on the issue of the electricity, the new minister, there's a whole lot of controversy around the minister and alleged corruption and dealing with tenders and things that have not been conducted in integrity and in a satisfactory manner. So there's a whole lot that's actually going on there. City of Durban continues to initiate. But what is very important, Brother Shaf, is that many, many people are beginning to semigrate, if that's the term I use, the Western Cape, which is causing havoc in the Western Cape, because either they have limited resources or they have not prepared themselves to absorb the additional people that are semigrating from one province to the Western Cape. And of course, the fight between John Stiernathan and Palak, you know, for the leadership of the DA, appears to be getting very ugly. On the issue of the EFF, and remember I've raised it time again, that you can't be the champions of labor and workers' rights, because charity begins at home. I see now, after I raised it again last week, they have put a lot of their employees under pressure, fighting on telling me all these things. But subsequently, I have noticed through the media that there are many of those members of the EFF have gone to the CCMA and raised their concerns. They have been dismissed without notice, and a whole lot of problems that they're having. So we practice one thing, we preach something else.
This
is the problem with politics in South Africa.
Yeah, Ahmad, perhaps Ahmad's driving inclement weather and so forth, but he's audible. Apologies for the line not being 100%, but he's audible indeed. Ahmad, there's a clip going around which states that Cyril Ramaphosa and you look at Julius Malema, they are head and tails of the same coin, and they have the same paymaster, and they're doing the bidding of the conglomerates, and some talk about the Freemasonry movement and this other movement which Nelson Mandela was also part of. What do you read into things like this, Ahmad?
Yes, indeed, brother. It's very confusing. But remember, this is how particularly big business and the West operate. you know, they work on the divide and rule principle. So it's not unusual for them to fund both sides, even those that are opposing each other right now. And that is to you know, what we call busting the phrase, both sides. And that's the problem we seem to be having right now. And confusion, definitely, because if you remember, Julius Malema went to the UK and got funding from them. He's being funded from some big business. Whether it is because they feel that he is a sizable threat and might affect them, and they are now trying to cement their relationship in case that happens, you know, I'm not sure. But what I can tell you is that the very same people that seem to be funding, that are capitalists, that fund President Ramaphosa or the capitalist system, seem to be also funding it, which is now causing more havoc and mayhem. If you saw what happened, British Petroleum has just decided to pull out of all the airports. And it appears it is as a result of a conflict that they've been told to have sanctions against Russia. And this all emanated from the fact that they wanted, were not happy to fuel the Russian airplanes that were here last year sometimes. So it means that the West and their divide and rule policy is working at the moment in South Africa. They're busy at work trying to divide us. And I can tell you that is going to aggravate the situation in this country. They do exactly what they have done all over the world. How they will come, they will influence you by giving you debt, assisting you, and then they hold you hostage. And the day you don't agree with them, you've got serious problems. And I can tell you, you can start seeing that, the effects of that. Again, it simply means that South Africa, like all African countries, are being founded, you know, are wanting. And that is despite all the resources you have and everything in the African continent, you have not made yourself sufficient. You have put yourself in a vulnerable position that your relationship with them has gone to the extent that you are interdependent. And that's where we are going to run into serious trouble. It means we must go back to the whole of Africa, needs to go back to being self-sufficient, African solutions for African problems, African currency, and become independent. You have enough to be independent, but yet you're playing into the hands of the West. And this, what we're experiencing now, is they will intensify that, because they will want to bring us down to our knees right now.
You know, in America, you get APEC, the American-Israeli Press Committee, deciding who the next president of the U.S. will be, together with the Christian, you know, Baptist belt. They always decide, you know, pray for Israel and so forth. But, you know, we know that APEC will support both the Republicans and the Democrats, funding both of them. So with them, it's even heads up in tails, you lose. I mean, both ways, they are winners. But in the case of South Africa, we have, they say the Ruperts and the Oppenheimers that are still the kingpins of this country. I mean, South Africa, there was a voice clip going around saying that South Africa is not a country, but it's an entity. It is a corporation for the Ruperts and the Oppenheimers. How do you respond, Ahmed?
Well, you know, the monopoly capitalists in South Africa have remained in power 29 years later. If not anything, they have strengthened their foothold or their stronghold in South Africa. And that's the problem that we might face. And that is why it is important to accelerate the process of small businesses and big business, but local South African business people. The problem you got with that, Brother Jabal, a lot of our people are not designed for success at a massive scale. And I'm not trying to be racist or anything of that nature, but the only other, you know, the grouping in South Africa that have made strides is the Indian community when it comes to big business in South Africa. So, you know, so generally it is controlled by the white and then, of course, the Indian community. And, you know, and until you educate the black community to the extent that they understand, and I'll break it down in simple language, that if you made 100,000 rand that came in this month, 100,000 is not profit. Maybe 10,000 or 20,000 is profit. You don't spend 100,000, you know. So that's the problem that we are facing. So there's very limited success despite the opportunities in the country since 1994. So that stronghold that is enjoyed by white or big business continues. I mean, 80% of the land is still owned by them. Most of the water is still owned by them. You know, evergreen contracts continue to exist. So you can see the problem that we are having is that there's not been much progress despite the black economic empowerment, which has only benefited a handful of people, okay? And many of them have got are only being used as front in any event. So it is as a result of that, that the stronghold that these big businesses have got influenced the politics of this country. And the likes of President Ramaphosa and many others will have no option but to toe the line. Look at what British Petroleum is doing now. Now, if you have, are we ready? Are we available with contingency measures in place, you know, at the airport? And I'm not sure that we are, even though we have Petro SA. But you know the state we are in is all government or state-owned entity. So we are not creating an environment where we are self-sufficient, that we can stand up like the apartheid government did despite all the sanctions. They were, you know, we manufactured almost everything in this country to beat the sanctions. Today we rely on everything to be imported. So we become vulnerable. We are borrowing more and more, you know. And that makes us even more vulnerable. So I think, you know, unless we start heading in the direction and change our policies and the way we conduct ourselves and do business, Africa will always be dependent and vulnerable and at the mercy of these big white nations. Now, in South Africa, while, yes, you are correct, Israel and United States, particularly, they decide exactly, and yes, you're correct, Israel has such an influence, particularly the Zionists, not Israelis or such, on who will be the next president and things. Well, in South Africa, there was an attempt too, because we, you know, can you imagine the Minister of Finance was being discussed in somebody's house? So we were heading in that direction, not in a professional manner though. I think they a lot more diplomacy when it came to the way it's done by the Zionists in other countries. So I think we need to be careful that we might be heading for a disaster in South Africa if we don't decide to change direction. And you know, we've got a beautiful country. We've got some of the best, most arable land in the world. We have a lot of natural resources. And yet we're not in control of anything, or we're not taking advantage. I'll give one small good example. The number of indigenous plants that grow in South Africa that is used for medicinal purposes abroad and then sent back here and everywhere as a finished product. But yet we do nothing about exploiting that and taking advantage and growing that industry. Look at cannabis. We came much later than Lesotho kicked off. And yet, look at the land we have to grow cannabis. So I don't know. I think our people are not as committed and passionate. It's all about self-enrichment and power.
Absolutely, Ahmed. I noticed that the Quran recitation this morning will be 65 minutes. So that gives us about a minute and a half, or exactly 1 minute. Your parting words, Ahmed.
Well, you know, all I want to say is we are going through a very difficult time. We're going to continue to go under a very difficult time. and that we need to prepare for ourselves for that. But what is very important is this, that we need to reach out now and create more industries, create more businesses, you know, and so that we'd be able to create more jobs. And in that process, you know, particularly the Ummah needs to develop, not only develop, but develop our own people. If we can identify people of the Ummah in our communities, like the Zionists do, they say, I'm not sure on the figures, I think they said 7 times or so, or 15 times, their money turns around in their own community before it goes to somebody else. So we need to look at that as well. Why is it that we work, earn the money, but it immediately goes into the wrong hands, into somebody else, when it should be turned around amongst the Ummah? And if we can boost that and build the Ummah and take it to the length and breadth of this country, inshallah, we can have great influence in the way this country is run.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmad. You have a, mashallah, beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.